Hallelujah.
So let me preach very quickly. If I wouldn't round up today, then I'll continue next week. And I want to challenge us this morning. Actually, that's intention. That's why I said I'm not going to preach for long. I want to challenge us. I want to stir up our hearts, especially now that we are done fasting. I want us to begin to think in a way. That special number says, God will need you. And so I want to talk about the fact that God, you are not the one that needs God. God himself needs you too. It's two-way. You know, most of the time we talk about the fact that we need God. We need God to come on the scene for our lives. We need God to do this. We have a list that we, take to God. But I want us to begin to think this morning that as we need God, so also God needs us. And so I want to preach on make your life count. Say to your neighbor, make your life count. Say to another neighbor, make your life count. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. I will just pick some points here. I'm not going to teach this parable actually, but I want to preach, from it. You can teach, you can preach. I will be preaching on this parable another time by God's grace, but I want to preach, from it. So I will just take a point, two, three, four, and then we'll be done. Matthew 25 from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He called his servants and he delivered unto them his goods. One he gave 5 talents. Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 talents. He that received 2, he gained other 2. He that received 1 went, dig in the heart, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Reckoneth with them means he asks for accountability. He that made 5 came, brought 5. And God said unto him, well done, good, faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the kingdom of the Lord. The same, he that received 2 came. Lord, you deliver unto me 2. I've gained 2 other talents. The Lord said the same thing that he said to the one that gained 5 talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. Exactly the same word. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Exactly the same thing. And the one that received 1 talent came and said, he complained. Women or men that nag. It was nagging. I knew thee that art an hard man, reaping where thou dost not sow, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the heart. Lo, take your thing. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I haven't stewed. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall receive my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give unto him which had 10, for unto every one that had shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but for him that had not shall be taken away that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servants into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. First point, I want to make some general points. The first point I want to make is this. God's intention is to make profit out of the talent he's giving you. Full stop. God's intention is to make profits out of the talent that is given you. Now, profit, not in terms of money, that he intends, now listen to this, that you influence your generation. And that is the prophet. He intends that you influence your generation, you know, from the gifts and the talent he's giving you. Point number two, we were saved to serve. Very simple. We were saved to serve. And that is obvious. You see, if you were not made saved to serve, would have seen a lot of people falling dead. The day you gave your life to Christ like this, people should be dying. In other words, you should be going to heaven. Or you should be having individual rapture. But the essence of salvation is so that we can serve. Let me put it in another way, because the people that are yet to be saved, you need to listen to this morning. Your life does not begin until you are saved, because your service is unacceptable if it does not come from salvation. I hope you get that. And so whatever, you know, that's what the Bible was saying. Except without me, you can do nothing. That's in the book of John. Now, what he's saying is not that people that are not born again are not doing stuff. But what God is saying is this: whatever you've achieved without me is counted as nothing. And that is why you can have the big men, the rich men of this world. And it's shameful that sometimes, you know, that those are the people we try to model our lives with. Somebody say, I want to be rich like the richest in Africa. Somebody say, I want to sing like, you know, some of these singers. But the Bible makes us to know, as a matter of fact, that those achievements that we try to copy, before God, there are no achievements. Before us, they can be. You know, we have Grammy Awards, we have, you know, whatever we give to people. But the Bible says that without me, we achieve nothing. And so, service, making meaning out of life, you begin when you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And so if you are sitting here this morning, you are not born again. There's nothing that you are doing before God. There's nothing you are doing in this life that is acceptable. There's nothing. And I'm going to talk about that very soon. No matter your attempts, you know, they are not sacrifices that are acceptable before God. And that is the third point, I suppose, that we should have. We were saved to serve. That is the essence. Okay, so that's point number two. We are saved to serve. Number three, that is critical, general statement that you must know. All of us, we give account of the talent that God gave you. You can't escape it. I was going through some readings, and I'm going to be preaching to us very soon on accountability. The word accountability is a difficult statement that a lot of Christians don't want to comprehend. Human beings generally don't want to be asked questions. When you are asking too much questions, you find out that they begin to recede. They begin to recede. Nobody wants to answer questions. Nobody wants to be held accountable. And that's why mentoring is difficult. I'm sure next week, or Hopper Week from discipleship class, you'll be talking about mentoring, you know, as one of the ways, you know, to prepare for revival. A lot of people don't want to be asked questions. A lot of people don't want to answer the question why. And say, why is it that you did this? You know, what have you done? Why did you do it? And you see people will disappear. If I begin to interrogate each one of us now, you find out this church will reduce the number. That is the nature of man. We want to be reckless. We want to live our lives the way we want. You don't want to be questioned. You want to leave your house and put your key in your pocket. And you might not return 1 week. The moment somebody says, why did you lock your house and you leave the house? That person becomes your enemy. When you say somebody, why is it that you haven't come to church? Then there's a problem. You say, pastor has too much question. I say, that sister has too much question. That's the way we have. But let me tell you what you don't like, and which is a treason. Christianity is a faith of accountability. You can't escape it. Christianity is a walk of accountability. You can't escape it. You can never be a believer that we amount to anything. If you're a believer that don't want to be answered, you know, that don't want to answer questions. The Bible says here that for every talent, for every gift, there's a day of reckoning. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, you can hide from man, you know, but you can't hide from the master. There's accountability. Now listen to this statement I'm going to make. There's accountability because there's a one that is bearing responsibility. And that's why there's accountability. Somebody has given you lease of life. Somebody has given you talents. Somebody has made you to prosper. And so you just think that you just be going like that. You know, wherever responsibility is born, there is bound to be an accountability. Somebody must have you question. I have a child living in my house, and you are eating my food. You are spending my money. And I ask you, why is it that you are doing this? He say, Daddy, don't ask me a question. I don't say my child says that, but I'm making you to see the principle. Wherever somebody is bearing responsibility, be ready that that person will ask you a question. If I gave you ₦1,000,000 and I said, come and tell me how you spend the million, I said, but you dash me the money. Oh, don't worry. You are not going to have another one. And that is why in our life, most of the time, it looks like we are short of supply. Supply not in terms of money alone. Sometimes we are short in supply of grace. We're short in supply of favor. We're short in supply of ability. Why? Because the one that you had, you couldn't account for it. It's like you are writing an exam. I don't know what happens now. You know, automatic promotion. Automatic promotion is not in line with the scriptures. If you're writing an exam, students don't want to write an exam. But the truth of the matter is this. You can never be promoted without writing that exam. So you have a choice to make. It's either you don't write the exam and you stay on the same class forever, or you say, they are going to ask me a question. I better face it so that I can move to the next class. God will ask you questions. If you fail the questions, there's no promotion. So you will account for the gifts, for the call, for the purpose of God. And I tell you something you don't want to hear again. You can't stand on the day of accountability and say, Abba, Father, me o ma pe mo ni talent yen. You can't say that. So we will all stand before him. Another general point I want to make. All the blessings that you have are so that you can glorify the name of the Lord. All the blessings. It was Corinthians that was saying that the Lord will make grace abound to you so that you can give to the poor. You know, sometimes you think that when you have something, a lot of us, I'm sure, this would have affected you or is affecting you. That's the way you are living your life. You know, sometimes when money comes into account, you begin to think about new shoe, you begin to think about new dress, you begin to think about new hair, you want to buy boon. You know, you lose that even that bone is running out of kinetic rabone otidego. You know, I want to buy bone straight. You want to buy bone curve. You want to do everything. You know,
There's nobody that gets money. And then the next question, you say, Lord, I have this, you know, profit. What do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do with it? Or have you forgotten that every money that comes into your hands, one, every blessing that comes into your hand, every addition that you have in it is a seed and a fruit. Even if you have a certificate today, in that certificate is a seed and a fruit. If you bought a new car today, in that new car is a seed and a fruit. So when I say that the blessing of God, I'm not talking in terms of money alone. Everything that you have, every addition in it is a seed and it's a fruit. We remain on the same spot because you combine the two. Okoje. Ole lopo lopo wa. Anything that comes, there's a seed, there's a fruit. When you hit both the seed and the fruit, you are a thief. You are not a thief alone. You are shortchanging your destiny. And that's why you can look back sometimes. You look at a lot of grace you've enjoyed and see where you are today. I'm telling you why it has not reflected in your life. Because you swallowed everything. Or can you? That is the way God has made it. Your blessing. When you have that blessing, the next question will be, God, what for? I told you somebody that gave me $3 million that used to buy this. I had need that time. Even if I did not have needs, if I call my people, I say, come and go to market. Go and buy stuff in the pharmacy. I know what $3 million will do. And I didn't want to be tempted. The moment I got three, all I just said, Daniel, oh yeah, I'm a bekolo, mo ya tete ti owo yen jade. I don't want to be like Sister Gbemi's testimony the other time. Egba je won ni di because he carried everything, you know? Everything that you get. A life of sacrifice is a life of a believer. Until you get to that point, you haven't started living. No sacrifice, no tears, no compromise. Ah, God, I needed the money. And I said, no, let's quickly put the money there. That's the essence of living. All the blessings are for his glory. Don't ever forget. Let me make some points, you know, from that scripture. From the text that we read, there are four things I want you to see. You see the master. And I want you to see that the Bible in Matthew 25 spoke about the master. It did not talk about the father. Do you get that? Now, and so I want you to begin to see an aspect of God which is master-servant relationship. He is our Father. He is our God. He is our lover. But there's an aspect of him, he is our master. Now, you are a son, but this morning, God is not speaking to sons, God is speaking this morning to servants. So you have the master, you have the servant, then that story, you have the journey, and then you have accountability. If you follow that story, those four things are there. A master, a servant, a journey to be made, and number four, an accountability to make. Let me talk about the master. The master is the owner of the talents. I hope you see that from that scripture. The master is the owner of the talents.
Number two, talking about the master. The master is the owner of the servants. In other words, for the master, the yam belongs to the master, the knife belongs to the master. Did you get that? The servant has nothing. Have you ever seen where a servant has something? Have you seen a servant that has a house? Have you seen a servant that has a car? You don't get it. A servant has nothing. When Mephibosheth came, oh, I want to finish this thing very quickly. You know that when Mephibosheth came, and he came to sit at the dining, you know that there was the chief slave of, I think, Jonathan. So when Mephibosheth came, King David ordered that chief servant will now become the servant of Mephibosheth. If I can remember that story very right. Now, immediately he said, you become servant of Mephibosheth. You know what that means? Everything that slave has becomes Mephibosheth. Everything. So, in other words, a servant has nothing. Whatever you think you have as a servant, as a matter of fact, you know, is the master that has it. So, the master has the servant. The master has the talent. Number three, the master has authority. And I want you to get that. The authority of the master. This time around, the master is working by rules. He's working by instructions. He's working by dictates. He's not taking responses, you know, from the slaves. That is the master. Is the owner and his authority. Then you come to see the servant. The first thing you want to say about the servant is under authority. He has nothing. He has no opinion. He's under authority. Number two, the servant is a custodian of the talent of the master. You know, I said to us, is the master has the talent. Did you get that? It is master that has the servant. So, what the servant has is what the master has ceded to him. So, it's a custodian. He's not the owner. And so, he's under authority. He's a custodian, you know, of the master's talents. Then, number three, the servant is accountable to the master. Those are the things around the servant. You don't own yourself. You don't own the talent. And you be asked questions. And we have the servant. Number three, the journey. The master says, I'm going on a journey. So what that means is the servant is left to bear responsibility. The servant is left to take charge. The servant is left to trade. The servant is on his own. Now, on his own is to the extent that we are still branch of the main stem. So, now listen to this. While the master is away, you know that the servant cannot have a physical relating. You know, I don't want to use relationship. He cannot have a physical relating with, you know, the master. You can't walk into the master's room and ask questions about the talent. You can knock on the master's door and say, I need some questions about the talent. Because the master had gone. And so the only way that the servant can relate with the master is through faith. And now, you need to get this. So when the master came back and he was giving reward,
That's why I said, well done, faithful servant. A faithful servant is a servant that is faithful. You do get that? A faithful servant is a servant that is faithful. You know, because if you are not full of faith, you can never be a faithful servant. Because the master had gone. The only way you can relate with master is through your faith. So you must be full of faith so that you can continue to be in touch. And that's why a lot of us, we fall short. We are not faithful of the talent because we are not walking in faith. I've said before, and severally so, that the richest place you have talent is in the mortuary, burial ground. You have a lot of people that have passed away without using the talent that God has given them. The richest place that you have call and purpose is in the burial ground. You have a lot of people that have passed and they never fulfilled. And that's why you are listening to this morning. So the journey. And then lastly, there is the accountability. That is the day every one of us seated here should be afraid of. The day of accountability is the day of reckoning. If you're a perfect liar, ni join you, lady rockbow. Because God will be talking to you not based on the talent he's giving me. He'll be talking to you based on the talent he's giving you. In other words, he's borne some responsibility and he's gone now. He's coming back to ask for accountability. You know, at the beginning I said responsibility and accountability, they go hand in hand. The master has given talent and is gone. The greatest question that you need to answer this morning, are you faithful with the talent? I know that a lot of us, like I said the other time, you don't want to face your life and ask yourself that pertinent question. And I want you to ask this morning, you have the call. And the Bible says the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. But listen, God can raise somebody in your stead. You will die with the gift and the calling. He's not going to take the gift and the call from you, but he can raise somebody that will feed the gift and the call. Let me say this. You need to listen to me. You need to get this. In church, we meet a lot of needs. The original plan of God is that there should not be any need. I know some of us are confused. There's need in church because some people are failed in fulfilling their purpose. Every need had been met in you. Because you need to get this statement, we're all creation of purpose. We are all creation of what? Your mom was pregnant of you, not because your dad knows how to do the thing very well. No. You got the liver. That pregnancy was not aborted. There was no failure. You know why? Because this is the way people get pregnant. And so if you are looking for baby, do you understand? This is the way people get pregnant. People get pregnant when the Lord locates that there's a purpose to be fulfilled. And he will look for the woman that will carry that purpose. And then there'll be pregnancy. Egbagbe medicine, doctor, nimio, ben se lo yun mo so fun yin. In other words, every pregnancy is a conception of purpose to be fulfilled. He said, you shall call his name Jesus. God was telling Joseph and Mary. He said, don't call one nonsense thing. Look at John the Baptist. Zechariah. when the child was born, you know, Zechariah could not talk. They are from Ogun's family. They be something like a bad or Google sorrow. Ekpe Ogun today. Ekpe ni Ogun sheyi. The man said, "Don't say nonsense." So Iyati moti gye na tito eba muwe. This is what the Lord said we should call. In other words, it's a delivery of purpose. It's a battle of purpose. It's a battle of reason. There's something in the heart of God to be fulfilled. You are a child of purpose. Whether you feel it, you don't feel. You are a child of what? You are a child of purpose. So, needs are created in church when somebody moves out of purpose. That's when there's need. If everybody stay in line of purpose, there's no need. God did not make the world, or the church rather, so that there will be need. God made the world so that there will be need. God made the church so that purpose will be fulfilled. When all of us understand purpose, we stay in line of purpose, then the church becomes a church. And so, on that day, you give account. If you like, get busy. We don't see some of you in church and say, I'm busy. You know, me too, I say, meeting me of your binulo. God bless you. God bless you. In your colon, pastor, look on you. Okay. God will be helping you. God will be helping you. When it becomes you know, even the other people, they recognize that it's day of reckoning. That's what I'm going to bring. Even the other people, they recognize there's a day of reckoning. The day of reckoning, the judgment will not be whether you are born again. It's a judgment day for believers. So God will not be interrogating about you are born again or you are not born again. God will be interrogating about you are born again. What is the purpose you fulfill? You are born again. This is a talent. This is a talent. This is a talent. On that day, may it not be your portion. That's the day some of us, we just realize that, five people that are in hell because of me. Because you had an opportunity to preach to them somewhere, you abandoned them. Some of us, doctors, some of them are pastoral consulting room. Now, grammar or medicine was speaking to them. God will say, I deliberately made them to pass through you so that you can preach to them. Some of you that sing music and say, look, these are the people that through your music have been born again, but you are singing in club. It's Christian that will be telling you that there's nothing wrong playing in club. Okay, man, so here for me. When it comes to that day, oh my boy, something is wrong or something is not wrong. You know, do you understand? You've left your place. Do you understand that? You've left your place. You know, some of you, the day of reckoning is coming very soon. Your eyes will open. You know, you can give excuses to men. And because men loves you, they say, yes, you are good. But that day, in God's love, he'll be telling you, see. In his love, he'll be telling you, see. These are souls that should have come to the kingdom. Where were you? A lot of us, we give excuses. So much excuses in this life. Not to do what we are supposed to do. We think it's tenable. It's only a madman will not have an excuse for what he's doing. Everybody. Especially you people that relate with me, you know I ask questions a lot. So some of you, when you are coming like this, this is the way you carry your excuse. You know, the moment I said, you greet me and I greet you, oh, to fire your bye. Because you know the next thing I'm going to do, oh, fire your bee, will see me. You know, this is the reason, sir, that I haven't come to church. Okay. Oh, the queen join you. Oh, ni ri, you won't you to follow. You have to do what you need to do because God has put in you to do it. You have to fulfill your call because God has placed in you, you know, that purpose and it must be done. You don't have any excuse. Are you in the ministry you are giving excuse? Will you be in the ministry and give excuse? If they say the commander is coming at 10, then yonder parade. If he does not come at 11, do they dismiss them? If he does not come at 12, do they dismiss them? If he does not come at 2, when he comes at 5, you know the time is come, 10. God save you and your profession. If the commander comes at 5 and says, what is the time now? You say it's 5. You are thrown out of that guard. Because when it comes, the 10 a.m. that's supposed to come is the time it's come. So when they say, what time has the commander come? You say, yeah, 10. What time has commander come? 10. What time has commander come? 10. You'll be thrown into the guard room if you dare say it's 5. That is the heavenly gathering. What about heavenly gathering? Gave you a purpose. What are you doing with it? He gave you a call. What are you doing with it? The day that you should be afraid of is the day that you will not have an answer. I'm going to continue next week. I promise I'm not going to take long. We are coming very soon. I'm going to tell you the steps you need to take so that you can make your life count. But I want you to know this morning that you are a child. But this morning, I'm talking to servants. I'm talking to soldiers of Christ. You have something on the inside of you. Whether you look it, whether you don't look it. The day you gave your life to Christ, talent is activated. The day you gave your life to Christ, purpose is activated. If you are here this morning, you are not born again, then you are lost. Your life will be a waste. Your destiny will never be fulfilled. You never achieve the dream and the purpose of God, except you are born again. I gave my life to Christ 19th of April 1987, 7 p.m. I can never forget. I've been a churchgoer. I was committed in my church, but I was not born again. I was playing drums. I was not born again. I was in the choir. I sang in choir for 7 years. Ragbade knows my church. He knows our church. Church, can I let you what? I was singing. I was not born again. I hope we don't have people in the choir that are not born again. We don't have people in this church that are not born again. I knew Bible. I knew Bible then more than I know Bible now. BK, superb, Nimi, Kilonjebe. We go for competition. I read to win competitions. It's either I come first, my sister, who is a professor of pharmacy today, will come second. Or my sister will come first. Me, I will come second. Bashem, in the zone, not in church alone. CSC, you know, they do zonal competition. We always win it. Can I shock you? I was teaching Sunday school. You know, we have Sunday school in CSC. I was teaching Sunday school. I was not born again. So I'm not talking about you coming to church or member of church. It will be the regret of life if somebody goes from church to hell. You know that if you are not in church, we know categorically you are not a believer. But you are in church, you are not born again. You are doing all that we are doing. And say, welcome home, you too, you chorus. Do you understand? He said, ah, shout hallelujah. You too will shout hallelujah. And say, come on, lift your hand to Jesus. Let's worship. You too, you are lifting your hand to Jesus. It's going to be disastrous. Because you are a wolf in sheep clothing. I beg you this morning. May I never be a pastor to people that are going to hell. I beg you this morning, give your life to Jesus. Your destiny does not begin until you give your life to him. You are a dead meat until you give your life to Jesus. I want to beg you. Give your life to him. I want to beg you. There's a deposit of heaven. There's a deposit of glory on the inside of you. It will not begin to happen until you know Jesus. There's a deposit of excellence, of greatness, of riches, of wealth on the inside of you. It will not begin to blossom until you have Jesus in your life. I want to please beg you. give your life to Jesus. I gave my life to him. 19th of April, my life had never remained the same again. I haven't said that it's rosy. I had my challenges. I had my affliction. I had my falls. But all things are worked together because Jesus is still in the boat. The devil rocked it. The enemy rocked it. Me, myself, I rocked it. Do you understand? But the bottom line, because Jesus is in the boat, that boat has never capsized. And I want you to come. Get Jesus. You've been sailing alone. Storm will come. Your boat will capsize. It's a matter of time. Get Jesus into your boat. Can you please close your eyes wherever you are seated? I want to invite you to Jesus. I want to invite you to Jesus. Place your right hand over your chest. You want to just give your life to him. Or you want to rededicate your life. It's not about, I've given my life to him. You know, I was talking to somebody. He said, from childhood, I've given my life to Christ. I said, see somebody that is not born again. What's the meaning of from childhood? There's always a time of awareness in life. And that's when you give your life to Jesus. It's not from childhood. It's not that. I was born in a church, if you don't know. I was born in CAC, Refi. I was born in a mission. I was not born in an hospital. I was born in church. So, if that is born again, then, but you are born again, Kinto Daye, Maternity Church, CSC, Refi, that was where I was born. But that is not salvation, ladies and gentlemen. That's not salvation. So, I'm most born again than all of you. If where you born is what we are talking about. Come on, place your right hand over your chest. Let destiny begin today. Let purpose begin today. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my brother over there. Thank you, my brother over there. Nothing to be ashamed of. That is the beginning of destiny. Thank you, my brother over there. Thank you. Thank you for this massive response. That's the way to begin life. If your hand is on your chest, leave the other hand. Just wave it. That is confidence. That is confidence. Thank you. That is confidence. Thank you. My sister, come and raise the other hand. Nothing to be ashamed of. Wave it. Let me see. My brother, wave the other hand. Don't look at me. You want to give your life to Jesus. Raise the other hand. Raise the other hand. Raise the other hand. Wherever you are sitting. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. You know, thank you, my brother here. You know, I can see some other people. Your hand is on your chest. Raise the other hand. Let me see it. Let me see it. Thank you, my brother. That is the way to do it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I have these brothers here. Raise the other hand. Let me see. Raise your other hand. Do you understand that? We ben yon ba Jesu. We ben yon ba Jesu. Oba fe gogba. Gogba oba mbe. The day of accountability is coming. The day of accountability is coming. You know, I think that my sister, are you placing your hand over your chest? You bend your head. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. That sister in the middle here, that beside my brother, and then the one in the black. If their hand is on their chest, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Thank you. Thank you, my sister here in choir. Don't sing. Don't sing. Don't sing if you don't have Jesus. Only one uncle. No, but I need Jesus. Only one who called up by Jesus. And you only call Jesus is Lord in hell. I tell you that tonight. And you only call Jesus is Lord. You see one in winner. Give your life to him. Let your destiny begin. Let your purpose begin. Or you want to rededicate. You once gave your life to him, but now you want to rededicate. From what I'm saying, you say, I've fallen short. I know you are born again, but it's rededication. It's rededication. Join your hands with them. It's rededication. You are once born again, but you think that something had gone wrong. Something had gone wrong. I want church. I want to come on the phone. I want church. I want to come. I'm a corporate worship. One man record the camera. Someone yellow more lonely. You know, once a church day, Ojuago. I'm sure we all see this is praise worship. I'm on Shabbat. Think of the day of accountability and do something about Jesus. Thank you. 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 Where you are seated, I want you to say these prayers after me. I haven't come to embarrass anybody. You feel like that? Don't feel like that. I did like that. I said sinner's prayer. I was not embarrassed. In fact, I was full of joy the day I said it. Repeat these prayers after me. Say, Heavenly Father, say loud and clear. Don't murmur it. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I'm born again. I'm a new creature. My destiny begins now, and my purpose begins in the name of Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let me pray for all of us. If you said those prayers, please, you wait at the end of the service. You see Abrayinka, Baba Ibeji. You know, you come to me, I will hand you over. But all the people that said those prayers, you must not go without seeing me at the end of the service. Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us food that is convenient. We thank you for leading us in this direction. And we thank you for souls that are saved, the harvest made this day. We pray, Lord, that this war will not stand against us on the day of judgment. We pray that we be doers of the word and not hearers alone. We pray that our lives, our living shall count in the name of Jesus. I speak life into the path of your people. I speak favor into the path of your people. And I speak lights into the path of your people for this week. Those that are confused, they will have direction. Those that are confused, they will have word from you. I being on the way the Lord leadeth me. There shall be a leading in your heart this week. There shall be a direction in your heart this week. And there shall be profiting in all that you lay your hands upon. In nothing will you be ashamed. The Lord is in you. The Lord is for you. And the Lord is with you. We give you praise and glory forever. In Jesus' name, the people of God say, Hallelujah. Amen.